You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 3rd of January 2023 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today we're going to have a look at the police and particularly, we will start at least with looking at how many thefts are being solved by the police. And we're particularly looking at this because we do know that the police are now seem to be more inclined to go after people for things they've said on the internet rather than for going after people that have actually caused loss, harm, or actual violence to people. Significantly, more than 1 million thefts were left unsolved by Britain's progressive police in 2021. The country's Labour Party has claimed. Interesting, this is coming from the Labour Party, and of course they're bringing this up because they want to say that the Conservatives have caused this increase in crime because they're not giving enough money to the police, whereas I would suggest that it's because the police's resources are being put into policing what people say online more so than the fact that they're not getting enough funding from the Conservative Party. Also, I would suggest that there's been an increase in crime in the country because of the government's multicultural policy and the policy of opening up the borders. Because if you allow different ethnic groups into your country, obviously there are going to be criminal types among those ethnic groups, and there are going to be more chances for them to carry out criminal acts if there are more victims for them. And obviously it's going to be easier to find a victim from another ethnic group than to pick on a victim from your own ethnic group, because if you're picking on a victim from your own ethnic group, the chances are that they will be able to identify you, and also it's more difficult to carry out a crime against somebody from your own family than it is from another family. That's before we even get into the relative rates of criminality, which differ statistically amongst these different groups. So these are the reasons why we have more crime in our countries, and this is the reason why more of these thefts are going unsolved. And it's not just thefts that are going unsolved, it's just crime in general, physical crime in general. There is less crime that is actually being solved, but there are more hate crimes, of course, being prosecuted. And what we mean by hate crimes is things that people say, not actual violent attacks, but just things that people say that may hurt somebody's feelings that belongs to one of these groups with protected characteristics. The analysis, reportedly done by the UK's Labour Party, which is currently in opposition, is said to have found that over 1 million thefts from last year went unsolved in England and Wales alone. According to a report by Sky News, 1,145,254 cases of theft in England and Wales were reportedly dropped in 2021 by police due to officers reportedly being unable to find a suspect. Meanwhile, the number of such thefts that actually results in charges being filed has fallen to just over 5%, a significant drop compared to the 15% figure of 7 years ago. I mean, that's quite shocking, isn't it? Just 7 years ago, it was 15% of crimes, or thefts rather, that resulted in charges. Now it is just 5%. If we look at the number of hate crimes that are investigated, it's pretty much every single one, isn't it? We have we even have these non-crime hate incidents that the police are obliged to record. Of course, that means that each of these non-crime hate incidents, the suspect is located by the police, and it is recorded by them that they've said something that somebody else might possibly find offensive or might possibly hurt their feelings, and they're a member of a group with protected characteristics. I mean, just the term itself is quite bizarre, isn't it? A group with protected characteristics. Which basically means that they may have a sexual characteristic, they may have a racial characteristic, and because of that, if anybody criticizes them, then it could be a hate crime. And it doesn't even have to be a member of one of these groups with these protected characteristics that actually reports the alleged crime. It can be somebody else who takes offense on behalf of somebody with protected characteristics. Why don't we just have everybody all together seen as equal under the law, and we allow us to have free speech, which is curtailed by the fact that you're not allowed to incite violence against anyone, any individual, or against any group. Why don't we have that? Why do we have to have this concept that you're not allowed to stir up or have an intent to incite hate? And of course, people look at that and they think, well, hate's a very strong, very, very, very strong emotion, isn't it? And when they actually brought these laws in, they talked about hatred of such a virulent hatred that it could overspill into actual violence. But that is now interpreted to be, if you are inciting hate, that means you're showing hostility. And they go by the dictionary definition of hostility, which could just mean unfriendly or unsympathetic. So if you are just being unfriendly in the way that you talk about these groups with protected characteristics, that could result in charges of hate crime. And of course, it only requires one witness to say, oh yes, we heard somebody say something that was being mean about one of these groups. And the police will then interview that person and record them. So I should imagine that with these reported hate crimes, they probably have a rate of actually finding the suspect probably well above 50%, I would say, well above 50% that they actually investigate. Whereas as far as theft is concerned, only 5% actually result in charges. Officials from within the Labour Party have attacked the statistics, claiming that it shows that the UK's Home Minister, Suella Braverman, has no plan to deal with crime. However, while Britain's police appear to be struggling to solve many cases of theft, recent events suggest that rather than solving basic crimes being too hard, the priorities of some of the nation's police forces may simply be elsewhere. The theft failure statistics comes shortly after one force in England arrested a woman under the suspicion of silently praying within the vicinity of an abortion clinic in the country. That's because we now have a law in Britain that you're not allowed to pray within a certain distance of an abortion clinic. And some people look at that and they will say, well, we don't really want to see Muslims praying on the pavement, which has started happening, and large groups of Muslims praying in parks. But that isn't the point of this law. This law is to prevent people silently praying like this. So it's basically thought crime. Basically, this woman was asked by the police whether she was praying. She was honest. She said, yes, I was praying in my head. And they arrested her, and they have now charged her. Isabel Vaughan Spruce, the director of the UK March for Life, was arrested by police after admitting to officers that she might be praying in her head near an abortion centre in Birmingham. And people just don't realise that this is what's going on. You're not, now it's against the law to pray in certain areas in Britain. Many have expressed concern that Vaughan Spruce appears to have been arrested for merely thinking, a move that appears to go against her freedom of thought, let alone her freedom of speech. Isabel's experience should be deeply concerning to all those who believe that our hard-fought fundamental rights are worth protecting, one legal expert remarked. It is truly astonishing that the law has granted local authorities such wide and unaccountable discretion that now even thoughts deemed wrong can lead to a humiliating arrest and a criminal charge, he went on to say. I hope that the Free Speech Union get involved in that and get involved in providing a defence for this woman, but it does appear as if you know, if they're going to make this law that within certain areas of abortion centres you're not allowed to pray, well, it appears that she is guilty of this, isn't it? It's the law itself that that needs to be changed. And it's really the resources and the directions to the police that need to be changed. So Suella Braverman should be saying to the police, look, you should not be going after people for being gender critical on Twitter and Facebook. You should not be going after people that are just critical of government policy. What we want to see and what the public want to see is actual crimes being solved, physical crimes, physical violence, stabbings, thefts, car theft, burglaries. That's the sort of thing that people want to see being solved. They don't want to see people being given prison sentences for something that they said on Twitter, for having a different opinion, basically, to the opinion that the government like to promote. That's what's really going on here. People are critical of the way that the society seems to be going. Of course, that's down to the government. That's down to government policy. And the way that they deal with it is to claim that these people that are being critical of government policy are in actual fact just trying to incite hate against minorities, as if that is going to solve any problems. It's not going to solve problems, is it, to be inciting hate against minorities? But you have to talk about the negative effects that multiculturalism has caused by importing all these minorities into the country so that you can get government policy changed, so that you can draw attention to the failures of government policy. It's not about inciting hate against minorities. It's about pointing out the failures of government policy because you want to see improvements and you can see the harm that's being done to society by this government policy and you want to change it. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with hating minorities or hating people with a different skin colour. That is just a ruse that is used to try and silence the genuine opposition to government policy. I mean, like it says here, the Labour Party, the party that are in opposition, but they're not in opposition to the government's policies on diversity and multiculturalism. They're in complete agreement. If the Labour Party had their way, they would have complete open borders into Britain. And they've been quite open in the past about wanting to rub the right's nose in diversity. And Jack Straw said they literally went out around the world looking for people that were not of British descent that they could then bring into the country. They deliberately changed the demographics in some parts of the country that were voting for the BNP, and they swamped the area with people from outside of the country in order to prevent that area from being able to vote for the BNP. I mean, total demographic replacement in order to influence the democracy that was taking part in that part of the country, the votes, in order to change the votes. These are the sort of things that we want to be highlighting. And because we highlight these things, we get accused of inciting hate. It's just a big ruse to shut down the genuine opposition. Well, as I said, I really wanted to concentrate on what's happening with the police at the moment. And I've got another news story here from Scotland. A controversial move to label paedophiles as minor attracted people in a top-level report has been defended by Police Scotland, with the force suggesting that the European Union was to blame. How convenient that they can blame the European Union for this. I mean, did the guy writing the report not notice that the words being used instead of paedophile was minor attracted people? And this is what the pedophiles are doing. They are organised and they are trying to get pedophilia legalised. They're trying to get pedophilia looked upon as being just another sexuality. They want it to be added to the LGBTQ and all these alphabet letters that we have. They want to have P added to that. And they want to say that it's just another sexuality and it shouldn't be looked upon as a crime, and they should be looked upon as anybody else in society. And they're quite open about doing this, quite open about their organisation that are doing this. I mean, even in the 70s, you had a group called the Pedophile Information Exchange, and they were advocating for the age of consent to be lowered. And I think you had Harriet Harman that spoke up for them, and the Liberty as well. The group that Shami Chakrabarti, that she's involved in, that group as well, they supported the Paedophile Information exchange. So we do have these groups, unfortunately, that are trying to influence politics and trying to influence government in order to get people's attitudes to pedophiles changed. And one of the ways that they do this is to change the word itself. And they're pushing to get the word pedophile changed to minor attractive people. And there are psychiatrists and people in America that have done these studies that claim that it's the stigmatization against these pedophiles that shouldn't exist, and it makes life awkward for them. And of course, the same things that were talked about in order to get homosexuality legalized, saying that there was a stigmatization of these people, that they can end up getting beaten up, they can end up killing themselves. And of course, the same things apply to the pedophiles, isn't it? These pedophiles can end up being beaten up if people realize they're a pedophile. But it's not because of stigmatization. It's because of the damage that they do to children. I mean, really, the term shouldn't be pedophile. It should be child defiler or child rapist. I mean, that would be a better term to use, because philia is love and pedo is child. So what they're actually saying in that term is child lover. And it's not about loving children, is it? It's about harming children. It's about doing incredible amounts of damage to a child, mentally and physically. These people are absolute demons that are trying to get this legalized. And to have the police going along with these politically correct terms for pedophiles, it's shocking, isn't it? And to think that they then blame the European Union for this, when whoever was editing this must have seen that, and they really should have questioned this with their superiors, shouldn't they? And I'm glad to see that there are lots of people that are complaining about this. Chief Constable Ian Livingstone's annual year-end report refers to child abusers as minor attractive people, or MAPs. The move comes amid wider concerns by campaigners over what they see as attempts to rebrand pedophilia as a harmless sexual preference. So these people that are doing this, they are organized, and it is at all levels of society, as we see here. This is the police that are trying to change this. And you have these psychologists and these gender scientists and what have you that speak at conferences to do with LGBTQ+, that are trying to get the LGBT people to refer to these pedophiles as minor attractive people or MAPs. I mean, there is even a group, Gays Against Groomers, I think they're called, that are homosexuals that are trying to put a stop to this rebranding of pedophilia. A spokesman for the force stressed that MAPS is not a term they routinely use to describe child abusers, and said that its use in the report had to be understood in context. Well, it was still used. It doesn't matter what the context was, it was still being used. I mean, what about that teacher that was telling her students on that video that they should be referring to pedophiles as MAPS instead of referring to them as pedophiles? I mean, she was taken off work, wasn't she? And the school wasn't supporting her, and was saying that no, this is not the way that we should be referring to pedophiles. We should not be politically correcting the term. And this is quite high up in society, isn't it, if the police are now doing this? He explained that the reference to MAPS was in relation to the force's engagement with the European Union's Horizon Europe project, Prevention of Child Sexual Exploitation. So once again, we have an organisation, and the title of the organisation claims that it is trying to prevent something, and yet what they're actually doing is trying to facilitate it and normalise it. I mean, this sort of thing goes all the way back to the Prevention of Usury Bill, which, of course, you look at that, you think that's going to prevent usury, isn't it? But in actual fact, the Prevention of Usury Bill legalised usury. It just said that you can't put interest on a loan over 10%. So, I mean, this technique of claiming to be trying to prevent something when in actual fact you are facilitating it is something that we've been doing for centuries, to be honest. And that's what is going on here with this European Union's Prevention of Child Sexual Exploitation project. The report states the project's main agenda is to develop understanding and approach to avoid the victimization of children by engaging minor attracted people and providing them with the necessary support, treatment, and guidance to help prevent criminal activities. So this is the way that they do it. They pretend that what they're trying to do is they're actually trying to help children. But in actual fact, what they're doing is normalizing this term minor attracted people, and they're trying to normalize what they're actually doing. They're trying to say that not all of these people offend. I mean, it's the same mentality that says that what they should be doing is providing them with sex dolls of children, as if that's going to prevent them from wanting to attack a child. It's just going to give them the ideas of how to do that. It's just going to encourage this perverse idea that they have. It's just pouring oil onto the fire, isn't it, really? Giving them sex dolls. But that's one of these things that have been promoted by these organizations that claim that they're trying to help children. It's like the UN when it talks about the rights of a child, and it talks about children's rights, and what they actually mean by that is a child's right to consent to sex with an adult. And that's actually what they're promoting, but they come across as if, well, we're just trying to look out for the rights of children. I mean, the rights of a child is up to the parents what they allow their child to do. It's not up to the state to say that a child can consent to have sex. Of course, no adult would allow their child, no parent would allow their child to be groomed and end up and be raped by an adult. No normal parent that wasn't a paedophile themselves, at least. A police spokesman said Police Scotland does not use the term minor attracted person. The reference in the Chief Constable's assessment of policing performance was in the context of Police Scotland's engagement with the Horizon Project EU consortium to tackle child sexual abuse and exploitation. So this was high up in the police. This was the Chief Constable's assessment of policing performance, where they were using this term there. They said the term was used in the commissioning documents for the consortium and is more commonly used on the continent. In September, Police Scotland representatives successfully lobbied for the MAP term not to be used by the consortium, but they were already using it. I mean, they lobbied for it not to be used, but it was already being used. And what they're saying here is it's already becoming in use on the continent. So the pedophiles are having a success, aren't they, in normalizing this and getting the name for their perversity changed to it just being about, oh, they're just attracted to minors. They're just attracted to minors in the same way that men are attracted to women. It's not the same thing at all. The term MAP is contentious because child abusers are trying to escape the stigma attached to pedophilia and maintain that they should be regarded as a niche group alongside the LGBT community. That's the way that they're doing this. And this is actually coming from a mainstream news report as well. So they are admitting this, that this is what the pedophiles are trying to do. They're trying to use the homosexual community as their route to getting accepted as just the same as homosexuals. Kenny McCaskill, the ALBA Party MP for East Lothian and former SNP Justice Secretary, said any use of euphemisms in relation to child sex abusers was baloney. He said spouting these euphemisms simply masks the reality and their danger. I very much welcome the common sense approach from Police Scotland, although even in commissioning documents, these euphemisms should be avoided, as they mask the reality and hide the horror. The term, in whatever context, is baloney. So he's saying what I'm saying. It doesn't matter what the context is. You should not be using this term because it helps to normalise child abuse. And this is, you know, they've been quite open that this is what they want to do. They want to get it normalised. And part of it is being normalised by this promotion of drag queen story hour, because what you've got there is you've got adult performers dressed up in sexualized clothing, and then you've got small children that are around in that environment. And what these pedophiles try to do before they attack a child, that they try to get the environment to be conducive to that attack. So if you've already got sexualized adult performers and it's accepted that they are being around children, then it's only one step from that to these adult sexualized performers engaging in sexual acts with the children. I mean, there's been some videos of these drag queen story hours, and you've got these little toddlers that are literally stroking the legs of these drag queens, or climbing up on top of these drag queens, and this guy on Twitter who actually works with these pedophiles in prison. I mean, he has said that these pedophiles in prison, they say, well, what this is grooming. And this is the way that they work, is that they will try to normalize these adult surroundings around children and normalize children being involved with adults in these sexualized surroundings. So this is all part of this promotion of pedophilia and this trying to normalize it, the changing of the terms for this, and also the breaking down of these boundaries between children and sexualized adults. Maggie Mellon, an independent social work consultant, said the term MAP risked the danger of normalizing and therefore perhaps decriminalizing a serious offense. Well, it's not a risk of that happening. They're quite open that that's what they want to see, and that's why they're promoting the use of this term. She added there should be diagnostic and treatment options for those who present a risk to children, but the police are not a therapeutic service. They should be devoting their resources to closing down porn sites that feature children and abuse of women and upping their detection and conviction rates for those promoting child abuse. I mean, they should really be praising Elon Musk for cleaning up Twitter. Apparently, Twitter was full of all these pedophiles. And I know that originally the Twitter group said that they were going to include pedophiles as one of these groups with protected characteristics. So if you were critical of pedophilia on Twitter, you could run the risk of being banned from your account. So it's wonderful that Elon Musk has gone in there and removed all of this. I mean, you can remove all of that from your Twitter account just by going on your settings and just by having ad block on Firefox. I use Twitter. I use it on Firefox, and I've got an ad block on there, and I don't see any porn coming up on my Twitter account. I know Dr. E. Michael Jones has said that he has a problem with his Twitter account and all this porn appears on it, but you can change your settings, and if you also have ad block on there, you don't get any adverts either. But Elon Musk should be praised for doing that, for getting rid of that on Twitter. A Scottish Conservative spokesman said most Scots will find any attempt to soften the language around pedophilia in official guidance to be deeply disturbing and wrong. Offences relating to pedophilia are among the most appalling and unforgivable crimes anyone can commit, and it's essential that Police Scotland guidance reflects this. But this is the point, isn't it? They're saying now, oh, well, we apologise for this, but it was the EU propaganda that they were giving us that we were just relaying. But they should have looked at it. They should have realised this. The MAPS propaganda drive has been compared to the Pedophile Information Exchange campaign in the 1970s and 80s, which piggybacked on the gay liberation movement to push for pro-child abuse policies, such as lowering the age of consent to just 4. I mean, that is just so sick. I mean, they're talking about this destroying a child physically, aren't they? Physically damage, the damage that would occur from raping a four-year-old. And this organisation was trying to get the age of consent lowered to that. And they thought this was a normal thing to do. I mean, these are people that are just devils. They're demons. They need to be excluded from society. I think there is a... In America, they do that in some places. I think they've got towns that are literally just filled with pedophiles and have guards on the outside to not let them out. I mean, that is something that you could think about doing, couldn't you? Because any of them that did have some insight into how harmful their urges actually are, you would imagine that they would want to join one of these cities and protect the public. And of course, if they didn't, if they tried to hide it, then, you know, they should be jailed, shouldn't they? Because obviously they're a risk to the weakest and most innocent members of our population. Police Scotland has already come under fire in the past year for saying they would record rapes by offenders with a penis as being committed by a woman if the attacker identifies as female. And of course, we've just had this gender recognition act that's been put into place in Scotland as well, which, as far as I can see, is not wanted by the Scots. They don't want people to just be able to claim to be a woman and then be allowed into women's spaces. And we've already had a warping of the statistics with this idea that women with penises can commit rapes. Campaigners said this would warp rape statistics, and they threaten women's safety by understating the threat of male violence amid fears that the controversial gender recognition reform bill, which was passed 2 days before Christmas, would compromise the safety of women-only spaces such as changing rooms and toilets. Author and campaigner J.K. Rowling was among those mocking the force, suggesting the move was Orwellian, with her reference to George Orwell's totalitarian novel 1984. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, the penist individual who raped you is a woman. And you can add to that, and the pedophile that abused a child is just a minor attracted person. The force defended the policy, claiming concerns were hypothetical because the circumstances had never arisen. Well, they have arisen, haven't they? There's been people claiming to be women that have been put in women's prisons, and they have ended up raping the women prisoners. So I think we even had a pregnancy amongst in these women prisons by one of these biological men that claimed to be a woman. And if you have a male criminal that's in a prison and they put makeup on and wear a dress for 3 months, they can say, well, I've been living as a woman for 3 months. They can get a gender recognition certificate now, and then they're going to get put into the women's prisons, aren't they? I mean, the answer to that is to have separate prisons for transgenders, where they aren't put amongst the rest of the population. And of course, they would say, well, that's discriminating against me, isn't it? You're discriminating against me because you're not putting me there with women. But and that's the end result of saying that people can actually change their biological sex. I mean, what you should really say is, yes, well, biological women can be together with biological women. Transgenders can be together with transgenders, and men can be together with men in the men's prisons. And the same can go for sport. But they would have to admit that this equality agenda that we have is not the right way to go. And we're not all equal, but they would have to admit that. So they haven't done that yet. I think they have done that in some sports. They've said that the transgenders can compete in a transgender category. But I think that would be the answer to this, is to have transgender prisons, just have separate things for transgenders to use, just the same as there are separate things for men to use and separate facilities for women to use. Detective Superintendent Phil Capaldi said at the time, the sex gender identification of individuals who come into contact with the police will be based on how they present or how they self-declare, which is consistent with the values of the organisation. Well, why isn't it based on what it says on their birth certificate? Police Scotland requires no evidence or certification as proof of biological sex or gender identity other than a person's self-declaration, unless it is pertinent to any investigation with which they are linked. So they do say at least that they will be looking at that if there's been an allegation of rape or what have you. But they will still report it that the person that carried it out, they self-identify as a woman. I mean, what they say here, what about if somebody self-identifies as a minor attracted person? Does that mean that they will be reported as that instead of being reported as a child abuser? I mean, it is good that this has been picked up on and it's been highlighted by people saying this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this. It's been good that it's in the mainstream press, but it's not good the fact that we now have the police referring to them as this. It's not good that this was able to happen. It just shows you how far advanced this campaign of trying to get pedophilia normalised. It just shows us how far advanced this is when you've got chief constables' reports using this term. So we have to be on guard against this. We have to be watching out for this, and we have to be drawing attention to it. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.